Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Glad you have joined us tonight. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. Please join us tonight if you're at home, you want your football fix. I keep saying it, but we're here tonight. We're giving you a little bit of escapism. You're thinking, oh, I need to talk football. I want to get anything off my chest. On today's EFL meeting, Premier League meeting, all the announcement, where is it heading? Well, tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. Well, delighted to say, kicking the show off, it's a bit of a fan favourite here. It certainly is a favourite of mine. He made his one-off appearance and he was so good we had to get him back. Mr. Tom Head. Tom, really good to get you on. Firstly, last time we spoke, Tom, I got a little bone to pick with you. You wasn't talking the team up, you know, we all was. We've enjoyed this season. And that was on a Thursday night, 2 weeks back. It seems like an age now. And then we played Millwall on the Friday night. And Tom, what happened?
Yeah, hey, nice to talk to you again there, Charlie. What happened is the question I've been asking myself like for the last couple of weeks, and it's something I'm determined not to forget after all this coronavirus stuff. Like, I don't want Forest, like the players sat there thinking they've got away with this one. When the season resumes, we are having a full-on inquiry into that Millwall result. it were absolutely ridiculous. Like, it was just what really upset me about the Millwall game were like, it looked like we'd regressed to the team we'd been in the last 10 or 15 years. The team that gets bullied off the ball easily. And the minute the Oppo put a six-foot striker on, we can't cope with it. We've not learned to deal with that in 20 years. And this season looked like the first time we're a bit more streetwise about that sort of thing. And it all just crumbled. I've never had a pint earlier than that in a game in the concourse. 28 minutes I clocked in. I don't know. I didn't even go back up after that. Watch it on the screen.
Oh, you know,
Charlie, you know when you're getting beaten, don't you? You know, yeah. When you look at a team and you know your team better than anyone else. I've stayed there when we've been two or three, even four down before, thinking, well, if we get one, we'll come back. On that night, they darned tools quicker than I do at Friday at 3:30 when I know there's an early finish happening. So, you know what I mean? It was a bit criminal, really, and it's like the last memory of football us Forest fans have got for the foreseeable future. So it's 2 weeks, I've still not let it go, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I was keen to get you back on and get your thoughts on it, and it is still nice to talk about football, but Tom, you're always worthy of a brilliant quote and a brilliant soundbite saying what you may do if Forest go into playoffs. But I did speak about this last week, and you kind of just really said as much there, Tom, but I'm not giving, Forrest an excuse or giving him a pass, but that was so left field, that performance against Millwall. Really solid at home. Just where did that come from?
Well, the thing is, I know we've got that performance in us every now and then, like a once-in-a-season job where we just completely capitulate at home and it's done after 20 or 30 minutes. But we've already had that this season. We've already lost 4-0 at home to Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
So me and my eternal optimism, you know, I was expecting if Millwall were going to do it, I was expecting, you know, a nice, well, not nice, but a quick 1-0 job, like, a proper grind-it-out performance. But they didn't have to do that. Like, we were just all too happy to put it on a plate for Millwall, and it went wrong. It went wrong when that first goal went in. The heads were down, and they never looked like troubling Millwall's goal again. They hit a couple of times more, quick on the break. I mean, there's a few people who need to be singled out as well. I'm sure Alpha Semedo's had a nice 2 weeks off, but I've not forgot the absolute war crime on that pitch. He was diabolical. He lost his man for the first, should have stopped the cross coming in. And it was just, it was such a lethargic, such a we can't be asked to be here type of performance. I'm not accusing, not necessarily accusing the players of having a bad attitude, because 2 weeks ago, I was singing the praises to high heaven, and I still will. But there's just occasionally, every now and then, I don't know if it's in like Forest DNA or what, but they just absolutely love to fold at home like a cheap deck chair. It's ridiculous.
You mentioned you'd be able to pick Semedo out of a lineup for each part in that poor performance, Tom, but what about the landscape now, where we're currently at? No football. There was no football till April the 3rd, then no football now until April the 30th. And kind of why I really wanted to bring this up, especially on the Forest show, we heard a lot of different ideas, a lot of different solutions, everyone throwing their sixpence in and having an opinion on it, and it's kind of what we do on radio. But we heard this 22 Premier League team proposal, you know, no relegation, two teams go up, Leeds and West Brom, just because they're the two teams that occupy those places at the minute. But what about the season Forest have had, Brentford have had, Preston have had? Where did that idea come from, Tom?
Well, I think it comes from the hierarchy of the English game, prioritising the Premier League over everything else, thinking if we can protect the integrity of the Premier League brand, to hell with everyone else, which is it's a symptom of the way people are thinking. If you've had, I don't know, something like Sky Sports News on, or even, you know, been listening to Love Sport Radio, you'll hear the people making the case to say, oh, just finish the season as it is. Just give the title to Liverpool. Like, I'm sorry, but it's proper anti-football to award someone something for doing half a job. And I know Liverpool, are there, they've not finished the job. Like, that's not sporting, really. This season, for me, it has to end at some point. Whether we're still here in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it takes, we must finish this season, these last 10 games, before we get anywhere else. And I genuinely believe it can be done. I believe it can be done because I think going on what's projected today from the government, I think by about mid-June, things should start to be returning to normal. There's 8 or 9 games left of the season, I think. You could cram them all into 5 weeks. You'd get the playoffs done by the end of July, middle of August. You could have an extended pre-season. And leading up to the Qatar 2022 World Cup, which is in the winter, we could adjust our seasons around that. But I don't think like giving someone something or announcing the season over now is the right thing to do. And I'll tell you something, I'll be honest, I'll put my hands up to this. I wouldn't want any scenario where, like, for it, where they say, OK, we're going to let the playoff team play it out amongst themselves for that third spot, because that's not right. Forest have not earned that spot yet. I don't care what anyone says. We've not earned it because there's still 9 games left or 10 games left, whatever it was. And the last few performances didn't really look like a playoff team. So we've not earned anything and we've not cemented anything yet. And it wouldn't be on merit for most clubs. And you've got a scenario of teams have games in hand. So if you were to finish the league as it was now, what about Sheffield United, who could leapfrog Manchester United into that fifth spot, which is likely to be freed up because City won't be in the Champions League next year if the UEFA ban stays. So it's too much talk about trying to make it work when really just everyone should keep their heads screwed on and think, okay, you know what? There's bigger things happening in the world. Let's finish this season when we get the chance, whenever that may be.
Yeah, and Tom, on that, do you think there's a little bit of an element of bigger club bias? Because we're hearing from a lot of other franchises, you know, the Brentfords, the Prestons, saying that if this was, you know, any other two teams apart from Leeds and West Brom, we wouldn't hear about this. Oh, yeah, they can go up. And do you think that that comes into play? We're talking about the Premier League and how it views the EFL as maybe its like younger sister and it's in the shadows. Is there a little bit of a big club bias here?
Yeah, massively. You listen to whether it's pundits or league representatives. The fact that like Liverpool have their own little discussion is quite telling. The fact that it takes 3 or 4 discussion points to even get on to the fact that there'll be a fourth Champions League spot that would be heavily, heavily contested because of the game in hand scenario, that tells you that, you know, priorities are elsewhere and towards the top clubs. And I don't want to call anyone biased. I don't want to be saying that there is a media bias and putting a tinfoil conspiracy hat on, but there's a lot of people who are itching to give Liverpool this title at the top of the league, at the top of the league now. And nothing's won until it's won is my strategy. And even in the Championship, it is all West Brom this, Leeds that, Forest, Brentford and whatever. What about relegation? What if we ended it now with, like, you know, there's teams like Middlesbrough and Stoke are still fighting for it.
Charlton.
You've got Barnsley. Yeah, Charlton are down there. Barnsley and Luton will still fancy the chances no matter what. If you told them, oh, the season's over, we've done it, don't worry about it, the good news is we've sorted the promotion out, that doesn't mean anything to fans of these clubs. Why would it? Why would Barnsley fans or Luton fans accept the relegation? Because it's just an easier way to sort the season. This season, and I'll say it again, has to end whenever football returns. Football returns. Anything else apart from finishing this season ruins the integrity of the Football League. That might be a big statement, but I'm a man of big statements, you see. So I'll stand by that one.
Tom, that's why we love to get you on and have a chat with you. And let me just tell you, Tom, I stand with you. It is never too early in a football game that takes place on a Friday night to have a pint. 28 minutes, absolutely fine. Tom, I hope you're well, my man. I look forward to chatting to you again. Tom, head there.
No worries. I'll try and see if I can break my record next time.
I want photographic evidence. Tom, head there. Always love speaking to Tom. Good man is Tom. But we are taking all of the questions on the Forest Show, and you can join us if you enjoyed that with Tom. We've still got so much more to come, and you can get involved tonight.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Still time to get in touch this evening, so do so. Why not? Why not join us? You're sitting at home, you're hearing what people are saying about Forest, and you're thinking, don't agree with that. Well, let's hear it then. Come on, tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, I'm delighted to say now it is a brand new voice and a new fan we welcome to the station and to the show. It is Malcolm Owen, a Forest vlogger. Malcolm, really good to get you on. It's always good to get new fans on. Just like Tom, not only do we ask them to come back, but we get a new, fresh take on things, a new opinion. And Malcolm, what a time to be joining us in a situation like this. It is absolutely crazy. But we can kind of take a broader stroke, a bigger look at the picture at the minute, Malcolm. For you, before we get into what's happening with COVID-19 and coronavirus, what were you making of Forest this season? You know, in that playoff race, really close to the top two, a wonderful season and a first season under Sabri Lamouchi. You must have been impressed with your side.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, thanks for having me on. It's a great pleasure. But yeah, what a fantastic season we were having. I think the most disappointing thing for me this season is we've thrown away 16 points from winning position. Mm. So actually, we could have had a much better season than we were having. But yeah, definitely, I don't think anybody expected this at the start of the season when O'Neill went and Lamouchi was appointed, because, you know, I don't think any Forest fan, hand on heart, knew who Lamouchi was or knew much about him, if anything. You know, the players are really playing for him. We're playing some fantastic football. We're not scoring too many goals, unfortunately, at times, but it's still entertaining football. It's been a really good, really good season.
Yeah, and I say bar the Millwall game, not conceding many either. Really defensively solid. And yeah, no one did know much about Lamouchi, but he's coming in. I just feel like he's really refreshed the place, and we've seen a really strong side this year. And maybe there is a little bit about it that no one really had those high expectations, Malcolm, but they're really proving what a threat and a side they can be, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely got the players playing for him. He's got them as a tight unit. There seems to be a real togetherness there. And the back five, the defence has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, when we signed Bryce Samba, the people were coming on going, what do we need another goalkeeper for? But my goodness, the guy's been an absolute revelation this season. He turned into a cult hero at Forest. And, you know, start of the season, Joe Worrell came back from Glasgow Rangers, totally different player. Figueiredo stepped in when Dawson got injured, and he's been great as well. And obviously we've had a couple of left backs, but Ribeiro seems to be doing a good job there. But for me, the player of the season's got to be Matty Cash at right back. And you know, I will hold my hands up. I was on the Door on Tour vlog, I was the one person who said at the Olympiacos game, this lad cannot play right back. And my goodness, how wrong I've been proved.
Yeah, but when it Malcolm, when it happens about your own team and your own players, it's quite a happy one when you hold your hands up, because you don't mind being proved wrong in that case. And Jenkinson was brought in, but Matty Cash, I mean, even linked with Italian super giants, wasn't he, in Milan? I mean, this is a player that's been absolutely excellent.
Yeah, absolute revelation. I mean, like I say, that first game he played right back at Olympiacos in the summer, you know, he was getting ripped to pieces by the guy who was playing there, left wing, and he just didn't look like it. And then the first game of the season against West Brom, he scored the goal after 10 minutes. He looked comfortable, and then he had a bit of a mare after that during that game. But then the next game, Leeds away, you know, he turned it around, and that was the start of, you know, great things for him this season. He's been an absolute revelation. Really, really, my player of the season, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And we just were speaking with Tom there, not sure if you were listening, Malcolm, but all of the different proposals and solutions that have been on the table, and, you know, should we conclude the season? Should it be deemed null and void for you? And obviously that position that Forest are in, what did you make of this whole coronavirus and the suspension to football at the minute?
Well, funny enough, it affected me quite personally, because the Millwall game, I actually met Evangelos Marinakis before the game. Yeah, so I had a photograph taken with him, and despite the fact I only met him for a few seconds, I've had to work from home and self-isolate to protect the people around me at work and my family. So it's affected me quite a lot. But even if Forest weren't in the top, in the playoffs, in the top six, I would still be saying that really we ought to finish the season, because, you know, there's 9 games left. You know, teams have worked really hard to get into the positions that they are. You know, it wouldn't be fair on anyone just to draw a line on, you know, on the season now. It really wouldn't. That wasn't in the contract when we started this season. So, yeah, I think we ought to finish it. Even if it's, you know, I mean, for me personally, I'd probably draw a line in the sand and start again in the summer. My personal opinion is I would finish the season, get the playoffs done in a 2-week time frame maximum, give them a few weeks off, and then I'd look to make next season shorter. I personally would stop the League Cup and FA Cup for one season, and then get teams to play 2 games a week so it can finish on time. Because obviously, you know, we've got the Euros next summer now, so it can't go on much longer. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have got to happen to be put in place. But yes, 100%, we have to finish this season. It's only fair on every team, whether you're at the top, middle or bottom.
Yeah, and Malcolm, I just want to go back to that, because that is absolutely genuinely fascinating that you met the owner of the night of that game, and the one when he was testing positive, Evangelos Marinakis. And that is so interesting, because that was kind of the catalyst that saw this, you know, this whole suspension in football, because obviously Olympiacos played Arsenal, Mikel Arteta tested positive for the virus. We know that then he was at the Forest game, they played Millwall, Arsenal played Portsmouth and West Ham. You know, a whole real massive domino effect. And it's interesting, we're talking about the Forest game at Millwall, but again, and we spoke about the bigger club bias, but it was when Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta that really changed this, and it took a turn into getting this suspended. But for you, how did that meeting even come back? Did you get tested, Malcolm? Because that must have been crazy. You meet the owner of your team, and then that news breaks, that story. Where was you, and what did you say? What did you think when you first heard the news?
Well, I was at work. It was Tuesday morning. I got a news flash on my social media to say that he had put out on his Instagram, Marinakis put out that he'd tested positive for the virus. And of course, I'm straight away, I'm thinking, blimey, I met him on Friday night. It's Tuesday morning now. And literally within 5 minutes, I was getting people at work chatting me online saying, hey, have you seen this? And I'm like, yeah. So straight away, I went and alerted the necessary people at work and said, look, this has happened. I rang 111, and they basically said to me, you know, they told me what the criteria was. I didn't meet any of the minimum criteria to be infected at that time, because obviously it's been changing day by day. So they basically suggested that I didn't have to self-isolate, but if I felt it necessary to, then I ought to. So, I took the decision that really I ought to just keep away from work from home, socially distance myself from people just to do the right thing. So, and I must admit, I've only missed 3 games this season, and that's because I've been away with work, but, you know,